It's U105, our lunchtime bistro. It's Carolyn here with you until 3. I did promise you that we would have Gerard McCarthy coming in to have a chat with us about the new show, Cat. And he's just arrived with a big smile on his face. This is great for you, Gerard. Welcome, first of all, to U105.
Thank you for having me.
But first of all, can we look back over what you've been doing? A couple of things that people would remember you from the fall.
Yeah.
What did you do in the fall?
I played a lawyer whose girlfriend was the first girl killed by Jamie Dornan.
Oh, gosh, you're working with Jamie Dornan then.
Yeah.
What do you think about what's happening with him now?
I think it's amazing.
Isn't it?
And even more amazing because he's such a nice guy. Mm. And, I mean, you kind of work with some people that are... Well, you work with some people and they go on to do amazing things and you go, really? Mm. It happened to you?
Yes.
But I think...
He deserves it.
He's the nicest guy and the best leading man that we could have had on the fall to lead the cast on that show. So,
well, do you have a big head about himself now that everybody's saying how gorgeous he is and all
that? I wouldn't think so, because you think he's always looked like that.
he's always been attractive, like it just didn't happen overnight.
Yeah, he was never hit by no ugly stick.
No, you're right. Well, let's have a wee... I just want to go back to the fall, just get a clip, just to give you a flavour of our Gerard McCarthy. Here we go.
I understand that you forcibly removed chewing gum from my client, Terry McInturf.
It's on safety. It's worried he might choke.
Well, it was in fact nicotine gum as prescribed by his GP. So he's entitled to supply whilst he's in custody, just as he would be any other prescription drug. And you're in breach of custody regulations by withholding it.
So make a complaint.
I intend to.
Tell me this, how do you get parts like that? I mean, because you loved doing that, didn't you? Really enjoy it?
Yeah, it was a brilliant show.
Yeah.
It was a gift of a job, because when we got the scripts, I think everybody that worked on it read the scripts in a matter of days, because you just couldn't put them down. And then we all went in and met for, I mean, the role I ended up playing wasn't the role that I auditioned for, and it was the same with Jimmy. I think it was the same with a lot of us, that they kind of met most of the actors in Northern Ireland and then sat down with this huge big jigsaw and went, let's put him there and her there and let's swap that. And then by the end of it, I end up playing Kevin, the solicitor, which was brilliant, because most people probably would have known me before then from Hollyoaks. So to go from playing a cross-dressing transvestite to playing a very kind of sharp-shooting young lawyer who was no sense of humour about him at all, was a massive gear change for me.
Was that directly where you went from Hollyoaks straight into the fall, or was there other stuff you were doing in between?
No, I was lucky enough to leave Hollyoaks and do a season of Shakespeare at the Globe in London. Mm. And then the fall came after that.
Gosh, you've had some brilliant roles. You really have had some brilliant
work. Yeah, and it's all been very, very different. Mm. So my agent keeps joking. They're like, what are you going to do next? Cirque du Soleil?
What happened with Hollyoaks? Did your character just come to an end?
I was supposed to go in for 3 months and I ended up staying for 5 years. I had so much fun playing that part. And then it kind of got to the end and I thought, let's go now. Because everybody in that show is a certain age. And when you kind of hit 28, 20 and 29, you're thinking, I'm a bit long in a tooth to be running around in a miniskirt and high heels.
I want everybody to remember what like then. Hang on.
Did overdo it a bit though?
Well, he just has to face up to the fact that I'm not going to drive a 4x4 or start to play rugby.
I get this all the time.
What?
Living with other people's expectations.
Sorry, Jess, the comparison is completely lost on me.
Everyone thinks I have everything easy, that I spend my life shopping.
Yeah, and they would be right.
Do you know what? I love how you speak in that, because you have not lost your accent at all.
Yeah, it was really weird, because the guys in Channel 4 were like, do not try and hide this Northern Irish accent as broad as you like.
And it is beautiful. It's a beautiful, isn't it, everybody? It really is a beautiful accent. When you hear it like that, and it's normal. Nobody's trying to change it. You're not putting on a telephone voice.
Yeah.
You're just being yourself. And I mean, do you feel that our accent holds you back?
No, but really oddly, when I first went to drama school, they tried to hammer it out of me. They're like, you have to get rid of that accent. You have to get rid of it. You won't work with it. And that was almost 15 years ago. Now, I think they've now come around to the way of thinking that people with accents are a bit more interesting than people that, if we all just walked around arty-farty actors speaking like people from Downton Abbey would be like,
everybody used to have to try and have this BBC voice in order to get on in radio or television.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it was actually quite refreshing whenever you heard somebody just being themselves.
Yeah,
but it's true, everybody had to sort of try and get rid of that That northern accent. Yeah. But it's good that you kept it. And you,
I kept it.
You're still in there. Tell us about Cat now. What's happening with this?
Cat is a play that I'm doing up in the Courtyard Theatre in Newton Abbey, which I have to say is the funniest thing I have ever seen in my life. I saw it in London a couple of months ago and the opportunity came up for me to do it in Belfast and I absolutely jumped at it. It's a brand new production, which has been made longer for this version of it. We've got Arlene Phillips from Strictly Come Dancing came in to be our choreographer, so the musical numbers are set by her.
Is it a one-man show? Am I right in saying that?
Yes, it's just
well,
me.
It's one cat show.
One cat.
One big pussy on the stage.
No, you made that joke, Carolyn,
I'm trying to picture the scene. So what happens with this big pussy cat?
This big pussy cat is all set to make his big stage debut in 1981 in Cats and gets tragically cut by Andrew Lloyd Webber 5 minutes before the curtain goes up. It's now 2015. He's still wearing the costume. He's still singing the songs and clinging on to this hope that one day he will be a big star.
Is he cross?
No, he's not. But that's the thing. I think that's the funny thing about him. He's not bitter and he's not twisted. He firmly believes his moment is just around the corner and it's going to happen for him and he's going to have his name in lights.
Because I'm looking, this is a picture I take it of you.
That is me, yeah. But my own mum didn't recognise me. She's like, that's not him.
You look beautiful in that. Well,
thank you.
You look good as a pussy cat. So is this a challenging role for you? Because since it is a one-man show, is it difficult to do?
It's challenging because there's a lot of responsibility. I mean, you have to give the people a good show and you have to give them a laugh. It's technically more difficult because the songs that are in the show, I thought, oh, we'll stick in a bit of movement and Arlene's going to come in and we'll do a bit of kind of Belfast two step into the side to the side and maybe throw in a couple of arms. Not with Arlene, no. The kicks and the turns and the jumping all over. The sweat was lashing off me. And the last time I was in a musical was 10 years ago. So, yeah, it's been a bit of a reminder how unfit I've become.
But is it really good crack? It seems to me like it would be a bit of a laugh to go
along. An absolute brilliant crack. And you know that kind of, I mean, it's real Northern Irish, real humour. I mean, it's very, very funny. The most challenging thing about the whole play is that when it gets to the funny parts, I laugh because I'm not a stand-up comedian. And I hear somebody laughing. I go, isn't that really funny? And I'm laughing along. And I've got the production team saying to me, you cannot laugh at your own jokes. First rule of comedy.
So how do you stop yourself from doing that?
I keep biting my tongue and it started to bleed yesterday.
We have to go along and see this because it's described as brilliant, hilarious and very, very naughty.
It is very naughty.
Where are the naughty bits?
Well, like the kind of jokes that you were just making. But yeah, no, it's brilliant, brilliant crack. And anybody who comes along, and it's not just for like people that enjoy musicals. If you enjoy musicals, yeah, of course you'll like it. If you hate musicals, you'll probably enjoy it even more.
Right.
Because okay. Dave will be one of those people.
Oh, does it rip the backside of the musicals,
yeah.
Does it? Right.
Okay. I mean, he's the kind of person that would kind of turn up at the X Factor auditions and like be shockingly bad.
So anyway, we're going to go along and see this. It's not a bitter, twisted pussy. A happy pussy.
A very happy pussy.
Sure, what more can you ask for?
Thanks. What more do you want out of life?
And if Arlene Phillips, he has worked as choreographer for so many people. Like, you look at the list there, Elton John, Queen, Tina Turner, Robbie Williams, all had her work, all been worked out by her as well, yeah, on the stage. So, I mean, that's nice whenever you have Arlene Phillips attaching her name to your work.
Yeah, I mean, she came in to work on it and then suddenly it got the attention of a couple of bigwigs in London and we've had conversations about doing the show in London and further afield. So yeah,
she said that she can see it going to the West End.
Yeah, she was like, if it opens in the West End, it'll do amazingly well. Yeah. So yeah.
Gosh, that's brilliant, Jared. Listen, good luck with it.
Thank you very much.
And I'm going to get myself tickets to go and see this because I really want
Monday night. We open on Monday night. It's press night. So come along. I'd love to have
no
you.
No problem. So Monday night, and it runs right through to the 28th. It's at the Theatre at the Mill in Newton Abbey. And you can go online and have a wee look if you want to buy tickets. But in the meantime, there's only one song I can play out of this conversation with Jared McCarthy. It's got to be this one. What's new, pussycat? Whoa, whoa, whoa. What's new, pussycat?